Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 59 are Tim Hicks.
Howdy ho, good neighbor.
Kevin Crossman.
Aloha. Glad to be here.
And Carl Finsel.
Good evening, all.
Now, tonight, we're going to get into a fun topic. We're going to be talking about Disney roller coasters, and we'll be talking about coasters in a number of different Disney parks. But before we get there, I do want to say thank you again to our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. They've been our travel partner for putting together the Diz Dads convention. And even if you're not going to be able to be there in Orlando with us for the convention, you should mark your calendar now. You could join me and Carl, at least, at the Diz Dads convention by joining us for a live podcast broadcast. We're going to be recording and broadcasting live on Saturday, January 12th, target time of 9 p.m. Eastern. And watch the blog at dizdads.com. We'll have more information about how to listen and even join in the fun with us live from Walt Disney World. So that'll be a lot of fun. Gentlemen, we have, I think, really a fun topic tonight, talking about our favorite roller coasters in Disney parks. And I expanded the universe we'd talk about on purpose. And we've got a couple of guys here, Tim and Kevin, who have experienced parks other than the four at Walt Disney World, because I think there's some great coasters, you know, outside of the parks that we're most familiar with in Florida. So I'm going to actually let Tim Hicks get us started with number five on his list.
Oh, cool. Well, before I hit number five, I'll throw in a couple of honorable mentions, and I know these are probably going to be on the top of someone else's list, but I've got two honorable mentions. One of them is Space Mountain in Florida, and the other is one of the probably lesser-known ones is the Sum of All Thrills, which is actually only a virtual coaster that's in Innoventions in Epcot. Those hit my honorable mention list, but number five on my list is Big Thunder Mountain Road in Magic Kingdom in Florida. It's a really fun little roller coaster. It's faster than you might imagine it is. It's got a lot of nice little twists and quick turns that'll catch you off guard if you're not paying attention.
All right, and Kevin, how about you? What's number five on your list?
All right. Well, I've been to Disneyland Paris as well as California and Orlando, so I've got a wide variety here. And I'm for number five on my list, I'm choosing Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Disneyland Paris.
Now, I was hoping this would come up because I've heard a lot of interesting things about the way Big Thunder in Paris is set up. So please go on.
Yeah. So in Frontierland at Disneyland Paris, basically the Tom Sawyer Island that's in the middle of the river is actually the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster. And so what happens is you board on the mainland and you go into a tunnel and out onto the island. And so you're going all around. And even though the track layout's pretty much the same, it's still a little bit more thrilling because you're going out sort of over the water a little bit. And then for the finale, you go down into a tunnel again to then go back to the other side of the river. So all the Big Thunder Mountains are really, I think, very good Disney coasters, very family friendly. And do a good job of incorporating the coaster into a storyline that's believable with the mine trains and everything else. And so you don't see, for example, an exposed track like you do at the typical Six Flags style theme park. So right. Number five, Big Thunder Mountain.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So, Carl, what's number five on your list?
Let me just touch base with that for a minute. I actually have Big Thunder on number three on my list. Gets no respect from these guys, but... I like it more so because it's something that the whole family can go on, and that's more of a family coaster for my family. Everyone from the wife down to the littlest one ride it, and that means more to me. And I just think because it's a family coaster, it should be a little bit higher up on the list. So I had that at my number three.
Well, that's a good point. Big Thunder was number from Walt Disney World is four on my list. So Big Thunder shows up across the board just in slightly different locations. But what was at the bottom of your list there, Carl?
At the bottom of my list, now here's actually, this is another one. This is a family-friendly one. And this hits my list just because it is has more sentimental value to me, is the Goofy Barnstormer. Believe it or not, it did make my list, even though it's only a little fast, you know, beginner ride for the kids, but it's usually your kid's first roller coaster. And I still take my kids on it, and I make sure we hit it every time. I mean, it's closed right now, I believe.
No, it's back and rethemed as the Great Goofini.
Great Goofini roller coaster. Is it now open?
Yeah, it is open, and same exact track, just some new scenery.
Yes, I mean, I know it's probably not going to make anybody else's list, but I have that as number five, just because that's always, it seems to be the kids' first roller coaster, and it still brings smiles to their face.
All right. Well, number five on my list, I fear, is going to probably generate groans from my fellow panelists here, but it's one of my daughter's favorite rides, so it had to make the list. Number five on my list is Primeval Whirl, sometimes known on the Diz Dad's boards as Primeval Hurl. But, you know, I actually think that ride-wise, it's a terrific ride. The combination of the you know, circular track, kind of winding track, and the spinning cars. Yeah, you know, there's some vertigo-inducing moments there, but it's a fun ride. And like I said, it's one of my daughter's favorites. We have a somewhat similar ride in a you know, amusement park here locally, and we ride that one too, but it's just not the same. I mean, people criticize the theming of Primeval Whirl, but I think it's really done well. It's creative. It riffs on a lot of the other elements of, you know, the Animal Kingdom park. And so number five on my list, you know, we have a lot of fun with it. I just have to make sure that I take my Bonnie in before I get on. Yeah, Tim, did you have something you wanted to say about it?
Oh, I was just going to add that I do like that one. It didn't miss, but I do like to hop on it. I can't convince the rest of the family to jump on it with me, but I'll get on it, sure.
Well, the one time I was truly tested was we were there in September and the park was completely empty. And you guessed it, we came around, got back to the beginning, there was no line, and the ride operator waved us on. We didn't even have to get off. I take it back. We had to get out of the vehicle, you know, go through the line and get back onto another vehicle. But riding it twice back to back was about the max for me.
It made my honorable mention list there, Aaron.
Yeah.
It was a toss up between that and the Barnstormer, and I had to give the Barnstormer to the nod over it just because, like I said, it's usually your kid's first ride, and it has a little bit more sentimental value to me.
Sure. All right. So why don't we come back around to Tim and pick up with number four on Tim's list?
Well, you guys are probably going to disagree with me. Number four on my list is Expedition Everest, also in Animal Kingdom.
Wow. That's pretty low.
A lot of people, it's the top of the list, but I have some that I like even better than that. It's a great ride. It's got some real interesting stuff, especially the part where the tracks are ripped up. If you're in the very front car, that's a pretty astonishing thing to look out and see.
All right. Well, I know that there's going to be plenty of argument for it, so I'm going to hold that discussion because I'm convinced it's going to come up. I know it's higher on my list, and I suspect it's higher on at least one other list, if not two. So let me bounce on over to Kevin and see what's number four on Kevin's list.
All right. Number four on my list is Space Mountain in Disneyland. And for those of you who have never been to Disneyland, even though the ride concepts are very similar, the actual track and the way you ride the ride is a lot different in Disneyland than it is in Orlando. And the track is much smoother. You have a 2x2 seating, which I feel is a little bit more family friendly because you can get four people in the same car. And then there's actually a great musical score by Michael Giacchino that goes along with the ride and plays right in your ears, and it's just, I think, a little bit more exciting than the Orlando version.
Fair enough. All right, and I don't know, Tim, was there something you wanted to add about Space Mountain in California?
Well, Space Mountain, California is definitely higher on my list, and it shares a commonality with my number one on the list, but we'll get to that here in just a minute. And really, it goes back to the whole, you know, sound in the headrest thing.
Okay, okay. So I guess we're on to Carl's number four.
My number four matches Tim's number four, except Space Mountain, Orlando.
Okay.
All right.
So... at least we had Space Mountain the same.
And what about Space Mountain makes it number four on your list, Carl?
Just basically pretty much the seating. You can get the seats, same thing with the seats. You can get three in the seat. And, you know, I always let the little ones go ahead of me so I can sit behind them. But just not being able to see the track, the dark ride, the lights, the flashing lights through it. Yeah, the kids really do enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Space Mountain in Disney World at the Magic Kingdom takes a lot of criticism, and one of the things that's already been mentioned about it is the ride configuration. I happen to really like the single-file cars. I think it makes it unique. You know, you can ride any roller coaster side-by-side with somebody, but... it's at least in the Disney World parks, the only one that you ride single file like that. And, I think it makes it a different experience. It makes it a more personal experience. And, I really enjoy riding it with my kids and, you know, everybody kind of has their own unique experience. It's the first coaster that my son, who's, you know, kind of ride shy, really fell in love with. You know, he rides the other coasters now, but Space Mountain is still the one that is his favorite and the one he looks most forward to.
Well, the single file riding, it does make it a little harder with you know, some first timers or some smaller kids. You know, it's a lot, sometimes it's nicer, and that's why I had Thunder Mountain higher on my list, is you can sit the side by side and accommodate the smaller children.
Sure. All right, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They used to have a configuration where it was two and two, and you would sit in each other's lap, kind of like the way that they used to have that on the Matterhorn at Disneyland. I thought that was a better configuration because you could get more people in than the 3x3 that they have now. So actually it was sort of a downgrade for me on that Orlando Space Mountain.
Uh-huh. All right, well, we've already talked about my number four, which is Big Thunder Mountain. I'm going to kind of wrap back around to my number three. And, you know, I actually, when I first started making this list, thought this was going to end up higher, and it just didn't. But number three on my list is Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney's Hollywood Studios. I love the launch, you know, that smooth, powerful acceleration. It's one of, and, you know, I've ridden a lot of you know, roller coasters that go upside down, that invert, and it's probably the smoothest upside down roller coaster I've ever ridden. So I enjoy that a lot. Now, everybody has heard the things that I don't like about Rock and Roller Coaster. I think that it started great and then they went cheap on us. There's so much more that could be done with the, you know, kind of glowing scenery in the dark. I just feel like there's not enough there, and what's there isn't strong enough. You know, we should see more of the highway stuff. We should see more of, you know, other cars' lights in the dark. We should see, you know, a better shot of Hollywood Hills. I mean, there are a lot of things that could have been done with the dark ride aspects of Rock and Roller Coaster that... I think would have made it better, but it still makes it to number three on my list. I don't know. Does anybody else have something else, anything else that they want to add on Rock and Roller Coaster? I know some people have it higher on their list, so maybe they'll wait and bring it up there. Although, I don't know. Kevin, you said it didn't quite make your list.
Yeah, I think it's a great attraction. It just didn't quite make my list. It probably would have been number six. I think I have some of the elements that you mentioned are not, I'm not a fan of either. And I don't think it's quite as family-friendly as some of the other coasters I have on my list.
Yeah, that's true. It's not so much family-friendly. As a matter of fact, it's going to be really interesting because my six-year-old son is going to come right down to the wire whether he's tall enough for it or not when we're down in January. And he really, really wants to ride. It's going to be a close call. I'm kind of avoiding measuring him now because I really kind of don't want to know if we're a month out and he's still shy of the mark.
Yeah, this is one of the tougher roller coasters for the family. Yeah, because of that height restriction. Yeah, you got two that can make it, and that one's just that half inch short of going on, and they throw a temper tantrum because they can't get on it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're going to roll on around to Tim. And Tim, what's next on your list?
Okay, hold on a second. Now, wait a minute. You're talking about your Disney son not being quite tall enough. Are we Diz Dads? We've got shims. You could stick some shims in his shoes. That'd be fine.
You know, if we were talking about Big Thunder or space, I might be convinced to fudge a little. When you're talking about restraints that are supposed to keep somebody from falling out of the coaster that goes upside down.
Yeah, you had a little point there. Yeah.
I have a hard time doing that.
There's always a safety factor built in.
There is that. Okay, so on my number three, I'm picking Space Mountain, California as my number three. When they refurbed this a few years back, they really, I felt like they did an excellent job especially in the queue line. Now, once you're on the ride, it's not a whole lot different between California and Florida, but the fact that there is the music, you know, blaring in your ears while you're riding the ride kind of adds a little extra element to it. It makes it a little more fun, a little more exciting, a little more thrilling. So, if you haven't seen that, when you're in the queue, you're walking through what looks like it looks like it's right out of Star Trek. You know, there's doors on all different sides of you where it looks like people might come in and out. They don't, of course, but you know, it's just a very nice realistic effect. You don't have the outward looking windows like you do in Florida, but when you enter the room where you actually board the train, there's your big shuttle right in the middle of the room. And I don't know, it's just, it's a lot of fun. I think it has the edge over the one in Florida.
Okay. Okay. Carl, what about you? What's next on your list?
I had the Thunder Mountain Disney World number three on my list. So,
all right.
Yeah, we pretty much touched base on that one.
All right. So we'll roll on over to Kevin.
All right. My number three is Space Mountain Mission 2 at Disneyland Paris. And this is basically, if you put Rock and Roller Coaster and Space Mountain together and had a baby, that's what this ride would be. So it has the Space Mountain dark element, it has the space theme elements, but it also has three inversions. It has a linear induction launch sequence, but instead of launching you flat like it does on Rock and Roller Coaster, it actually shoots you up sort of like a rocket. And also music by Michael Giacchino. Really, really exciting. Now, again, this is not so family friendly, but in terms of the non-family friendly inversion coaster, this is the piece de resistance, shall we say, of all the Disney coasters.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to get out there to try that one at some point because that just sounds amazing.
Yeah, there. Tomorrowland is kind of differently themed out there. It's kind of got a Jules Verne vibe about it, and that's incorporated into the theming of the Space Mountain as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a dark ride with space elements, so it's very similar in that respect. But the amount of thrills is definitely higher on this one.
All right. Well, on my list here, I went to my number two was Space Mountain, Florida. I think I've already really talked about my feelings about Space Mountain, Florida. So I'm going to roll back on around to Tim again and see what's number two on Tim's list.
Already, number two on my list is California Screamin' in the California Adventure Park. You've got your 0 to 60 launch element. You got the vertical loop that's right in the Mickey ears of the coaster. I mean, it's one of the iconic symbols of California Adventure. It's fast. It's got lots of hills. It's just an overall good coaster.
All right, and. I think you and Kevin are probably the only ones who have ridden. So, Kevin, you have anything you want to add on California Screamin'?
Yeah, it's number two on my list as well. And one of the nice things about Disney coasters, for the most part, is that you don't see an exposed track. So it's hidden in the dark, or you incorporate it into a mountain like you do with most of these coasters. But this is the exception to the rule. And while the fact that it's exposed is actually a plus because it sort of sets a backdrop to Paradise Pier, It sort of pretends to be a wooden roller coaster that's thematically appropriate, even though it's steel, and so you can do things like loops and crazy hills and everything else. The other thing I want to note about this coaster, it's over 6,000 feet long, which is by far, by over 1,000 feet longer than any Disney coaster. So you really get your money's worth for the time you spend waiting in line on this one, and very, very smooth. And I really like that coaster as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. So, Carl, what's number two on your list?
We can debate it now or we can wait, Aaron. I have Expedition Everest 2 on mine.
Okay.
I know you have it one, so.
Well, let's go ahead and start this Expedition Everest discussion because, you know, Everest is one on my list. I suspect, I don't know, Kevin, is it still alive on your list?
It's number one on my list as well.
Number one on your list as well. So there are at least two of us with it at number one. Tim, you had it down at, what, four or five?
Yeah, down at number four. Uh-huh.
Okay. And Carl has it at two. So, Carl, why don't you start us with why it's number two on your list?
The smiles on my kids' faces. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great ride. Yeah, like you said, you go up. Yeah, you see the empty tracks. I've been in that front seat, and that is an awesome view when you're just looking over at the end of the track and it starts. The kids, they don't have an idea of it going backwards, you know, the shock. But it's pretty much, it's just not a long enough ride either for me. It's too short to put it number one. I guess the Yeti being broken all the time kind of has a little effect on it, but I've never seen the Yeti working. But it's all in all, it's a really good ride, but it just didn't make the number one because I liked the Rock and Roller Coaster a little bit better.
Okay, fair enough. Tim, you only had it at four, so you've heard what Carl said about it being number two on his list. Why is it so low on yours?
Well, I think for me, it's kind of the same as Rock and Roller Coaster is for you. It's a great lead up. You know, you got the stuff that we talked about there at the beginning of the ride, but once you've done the backwards thing and it takes off, it's all about speed. And the Yeti thing is so built up, but you're going so fast, you never see it, even if it is working, and most of the time it isn't. So to me, that's the letdown part of that.
Okay, well, I'll give you that. But for me, one of the things that gets it to the top spot is that in addition to a really terrific ride, and I think it deserves points for the reverse element, I think it deserves points for the beautiful vista there, as you travel kind of between the mountains. But in addition to all of that, you get a queue line that starts the ride really while you're waiting. I almost hate to use FastPass for Expedition Everest because the queue is just so much fun to look at the artifacts and kind of read the little news clippings. And it really immerses you in a story and it makes it really, truly a Disney coaster, the kind of a coaster that just isn't going to exist anyplace else. That extra layer of theme really is what puts it over the top for me. I don't know, Kevin, how about you?
Well, again, it's number one on my list because I think it puts all the elements in place. And I did a poll of my family, my two boys and my wife, and we all had this ride at number one, even though my older son does not like inversions. He doesn't like those thrilling coasters. And my younger one really likes that. So to me, this is the roller coaster that everyone in the family can agree on. I think that if you look at every element of this attraction, it's hitting on the highest level, with one exception we'll talk about at the end. So as you mentioned, the queue, fabulous. I agree. I hate going through FastPass because I like going through the museum there. You have that whole placemaking where they've built that whole town. So you have the town and that theme, and I hate going through the FastPass line just like you. And I think that the thrills of it are still very thrilling to the people who like those sorts of G-force inducing things. But you don't have an aversion, so you don't have people that are freaked out by it. And then lastly, Of course, we have the Yeti. It is disappointing, but what would a great Disney attraction be without some sort of element that gets the Disney fan community up in ire about something? So that's adding something to our little culture here, isn't it?
Something to talk about.
That's right.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So we've hit on most everybody's list. Does anybody have something on their list that hasn't been mentioned yet? I know, Tim, you had Rock and Roller Coaster at the top of your list, right?
At the top of my list. And a lot of that has to do with, well, number one, the fact that I'm a huge fan of Aerosmith.
Okay.
Number two, the queue line is so different in that you've got the whole scene there with the band and, you know, really getting to interact. Well, I mean, it's almost as though you're getting to interact with them. And, you know, Tyler is, you know, looking out and, you know, addressing the audience. I think that part is really cool. You ride that thing enough, and like I said, if you are a big Aerosmith fan, you're actually jamming to the music. And my wife and I, on our honeymoon 5 years ago, rode it a grand total of 17 times. We got to the we got to the point where we could lean with the turns before they got there.
Wow.
I pretty much agree with all that. Aaron was saying something about they could do a better job of updating some of the scenery and stuff. I really don't see much of that, because with the music just playing in your ears, you're zoned into the music and the ride just takes over from there. Everything else is a blur.
All right, fair enough. I will admit that I'm a little picky when it comes to that.
And I can agree with you that, you know, they could make a little bit more of the highway thing. It's supposed to be a crowded highway, but you don't see another car the whole way.
Well, that's my big point. And I talked about this when we talked about our Blue Sky Hollywood Studios episode, that, you know, that we got this whole thing about how it was a traffic jam and we were running late. If nothing else, you know, I ought to be able to see the line of headlights in the distance that we're dodging, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I think we've hit everything on everybody's list. Anything that we've left out?
The one thing that we have left out is just the sheer anticipation of the new roller coaster in Tomorrowland that opens next year. Well, not 2013, but 2014.
You mean Fantasyland?
Did I say, yeah, Fantasyland, yes. I'm sorry, not Tomorrowland. Fantasyland, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride with the tracks that actually move with the car. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'm really intrigued by what's going to happen with this Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think most of the feedback that we're getting about it so far, most of what we've learned about it, is that it's a... you know, we're kind of being cautioned that this shouldn't be an e-ticket ride, that we're really probably talking more of like a D-ticket. I think it seems to me to be another example of Disney doing a nice job of balancing dark ride elements and coaster elements. You know, Kevin, there was something you wanted to say about that.
Well, the other thing that it balances is it provides another attraction for boys as opposed to all the girl-oriented attractions that they've added in New Fantasyland. So I think I'm really looking forward to that attraction as well. And who knows, we do this list in a couple of years, the numbers might change a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the nice things about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in Fantasyland, you mentioned balance. It's not just gender balance, but I think that what we're hearing about it is really a nice balance between the sort of, you know, thrill ride piece of the swinging train cars and the roller coaster elements and the sort of dark ride storytelling elements that allow it to fit nicely in Fantasyland, which is the area of the park where, you know, the younger kids seem to be the most accommodated. It's a nice bridge for families with younger kids between the Fantasyland attractions like, you know, Small World and Peter Pan and those rides, and maybe the larger coasters like, you know, Space Mountain next door in Tomorrowland.
It'll be interesting to see what the height requirement on that will be.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd guess it's going to end up being, you know, either 38 or 40 inches, but... You know, we'll see if they can find a way to squeeze it down farther. Because I guess at this point, I can't think of any attractions in Fantasyland that do have a height requirement. I mean, well, Goofini does, but it's like 36 inches or something.
Yeah, you can. That, yep. Everyone gets that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you all have heard our opinions of the top Disney roller coasters. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you think. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at DizDadsPodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our discussion forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, it's been Aaron Rittmaster with Tim Hicks.
Until next time.
Kevin Crossman.
Aloha, everyone.
And Carl Finzel.
Adios.
And don't forget to check in on us live on Saturday, January 12th at 9 p.m. Remember, look for the details at dizdads.com. Nice job, guys.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.